welcome to episode 9 of Widnes Rugby Chat, the last one before Christmas. I hope you and yours have a great Christmas and a good New Year. It's flown by the 9 weeks that have been doing this now. Obviously, it'll get a lot easier when the season starts and we've got some games to talk about. So again, always open to ideas, comments, suggestions. Just me, as you can see this week, after Drew's cameo appearance last week, I am working on getting some more guests on the show in the new year and some interesting ones lined up. And as I say, the content that I'll be able to do around match day will be add a bit more of a dimension. I'm looking forward to maybe giving some reviews of matches, my thoughts on some matches, my thoughts on the performances. I'm really looking forward to that in the new year, and so I hope you are as well. I do want to try and do a fans panel type show at some point as well. With me being based in Warrington, it might not be ideal for some fans, so it may be that I'll try and arrange it somewhere in Widnes. So if anyone wants to host us, or if any venues want to host us, or if any fans want to get involved, I know I've had a couple of people message me on Twitter, please do so, and we'll look at getting that fixed up, because it'd be great to hear. I know I've got my own opinions, as I'm sure you have. It'd be great to hear a few different opinions. In this episode, I'm just going to break down, or we're going to look at the fixtures, because I know the championship fixtures were released in the middle of the whole Gelling saga and all that stuff that went on. So there wasn't much, we didn't get much opportunity for me to run through the fixture list and where perhaps the winnable games or the winnable runs are. Don't forget, Widnes won just one, I think, of the last, 27 games or something like that of last season. So a very, a very bad run of form. So a clean slate for 2019. And of course, I'm sure everyone at the club will be wanting to get a bit of momentum going and some wins. And, you know, I'm sure the fans probably want that as well, especially to try and get numbers through the gate. So, you know, you'll have all seen these, but I'll offer my opinion on the runs that Widnes have got. Of course, it's a very tough start. I mean, you look at February there, Halifax at home, Toulouse away, Toronto away, and Sheffield at home. And certainly those first three games, you probably couldn't have picked three tougher games to start off with. But then, is there a benefit to playing the hard games first? That's up for debate. Halifax at home, really good first game. It'll be competitive and it'll be a real barometer. It's a real stern test, really, for a first competitive game for Kieran Pirtle as coach, because Halifax are an established team in the Championship. Richard Marshall's been there for years. They've got a very settled squad, as we saw in last week's Widnes Rugby Chat. We went through all the top seven starting 13s. Halifax have got a really solid team, and that'll be a real test. You feel that Widnes really do need to get underway with a win, as I'm sure every club would think the same. So that'll be a real test on the opener. Toulouse away, the second game, I'm struggling to make that one. I've not had a massive scout around for flights yet, but it's far from ideal that early in the season. I'm sure a few of you were looking forward to having your summer holiday there are a bit disappointed. Certainly when we were in Championship last time, it was always July, August time. I know I went all three times in the Championship and the weather was always brilliant. Toulouse, of course, always very strong at home. So I think that's one of the games that you'd probably expect, well, not expect to lose, but that you would maybe not mind so much if Widnes were to lose that one. I guess from a Widnes point of view, it's better to play them early in the season when it's not scorching hot. And also, I mean, one of the sort of tongue-in-cheek comments I think I made to someone last week was there's less time for Widnes to get injuries before them first few games. So you'd like to think that Widnes can have their strongest possible line upon the field for all three of those first games, Halifax, Toulouse and Toronto, which will give a real indication of where the current team is at. And then that's on Saturday the 9th of February, and then it's Saturday 16th of February is Toronto away. Now, this isn't going to be played in Canada, much to mine and many others' disappointments. It's going to be at Newcastle at Kingston Park, which is an artificial pitch. I went there a few years ago when Widnes played a pre-season game there. It was largely the under-19s. It's a really nice facility, really nice pitch. The Newcastle Falcons rugby union team play there. So it's going to be a double header as well. Is it Newcastle Doncaster, I think, the game before? So it'll be a good day out for a rugby league fan, that one. The weather might not be so good in Newcastle in February, but interesting how that pans out for Toronto. I know people say, oh, it's better to play them at Newcastle than it is in Canada, but then I would probably argue that given that Toronto are largely based over here anyway, there won't be any noticeable difference for either team at that stage of the season, but it will at least give an early indication of where Widnes stand in comparison to Toronto. I think I'd certainly rather play them away early on than at home. So looking after that, after the tricky first three games, it's Sheffield at home, back-to-back home game, Sheffield at home, and then Featherstone at home on the 3rd of March. There's a potential banana skin away at Barrow on March 10th. We saw last season that Barrow did really well at the start of the season. They turned over Lee and then got that draw against Toronto, really played the conditions really well. Then there's Bradford at home, which again is another real barometer of where Widnes will be in the middle of March. Then it's Rochdale away, then there's a Challenge Cup round, then it's Batley away, then there's another Challenge Cup round. Good Friday at home to Lee, Easter Monday away at York. Now, I can't let the Easter weekend go by without bringing up the fact that Toronto and Toulouse not in the Challenge Cup. It means that they'll have two free weekends out of three in the lead up to Easter weekend, which gives them a little bit of an advantage in terms of fresh players. You know, whoever, you know, I know Toronto will argue it's not their fault, but you know, that's the case. And I think it's just one of them examples of something that an integrity sapping thing in rugby league, and there's a few of them that I'm not particularly fond of. You know, it's not Toronto and Toulouse's fault necessarily, but gives them a little bit of an advantage. And you know, Widnes got that tough fixture at home to Lyon Good Friday, and a potential, you know, a real tough away trip to York on the Monday, because if the Good Friday game takes a lot out of you, you know, to then turn around and go to York, who, you know, good fan base up there, gonna be a tough one there. Especially, I don't think York will be up there in the league. I think even though they won League One, I don't think they've really recruited anyone of any note. But they might grow into the season. They'll certainly be tough to beat at home. After Easter, then it's Dewsbury at home, then Swinton away, then there's another Challenge Cup round, and then it's Summerbash, Lee. Again, another example of the integrity sapping nature of rugby league sometimes is, of course, that Lee game is your extra game. And as we saw with Lee last year, the fact that they played Toronto at Summer Bash was effectively why they didn't finish in the top four. So Lee will certainly be a tough game. I think Lee, not many people were talking about them until the past couple of weeks when they've started signing players. And I think they're building a tidy little team. Obviously, playing, they're getting players for the right reasons. You know, John Duffy's leading them. They're really looking at getting local players and players who want to play for the shirt. And it's really good to see. I think they probably need a few more forwards, but they've certainly got the potential there, and certainly with the halfbacks that they've got in Ridyard and Woods, you know, they'll be a threat to any team. Week after some backs, it's York at home. Then there's another weekend off in June, which again is a Challenge Cup thing. The 1895 Cup, a few people have been asking me, is going to be midweek largely, I'm led to believe. So how it works is the eight League One teams are going to be playing eight of the 11 League One teams, so North Wales, West Wales and London Scholars aren't playing in it. The other eight teams play each other, and the four winners of those ties will go and join the 12 Championship clubs, which is basically the 14 Championship clubs, but not Toronto and Toulouse, in the last 16. So effectively, you've got to win three games to get to Wembley. So my understanding is they will be played in midweek in June and July time, which hopefully, if the weather's nice, it'll that'll boost the soil, that'll boost the coffers in the summer and give a bit of extra summer rugby league. It's nice to see Sundays throughout this list as well, as I'm sure some of you will agree. So in June, Barrow at home, Featherstone away, Batley at home, Bradford away. So a nice home away, isn't it nice? A consistent Championship fixture list. And then in July, it's Rochdale at home, Halifax away, Toronto at home. In August, it's Sheffield away, Toulouse at home, Lee away, and then to round off in September, it's Swinton at home and Dewsbury away. So Sheffield away being on a Friday night, that's the only actual non-Sunday game apart from sorry, apart from the Easter weekend and of course the Toronto and Toulouse away games, which is Saturdays at the start of the season. So there's no excuses anymore. The games are, you know, when the games are, they're all there. They're all Sundays, 3 o'clock. So, you know, looking forward to the season and hopefully we'll see a much better Widnes team, much better Widnes performances this year. I think we touched on this last week. I think Toronto will finish first. I think Toulouse will finish second. I think Widnes, I'll put them down as third place at the moment. I'll probably go Halifax fourth and Lee fifth, but I think Lee are really going to be... It feels weird to describe Lee as dark horses, but I certainly think that they're going to cause some bother to some teams next season. So I wanted to touch on this, and it was something that I put on Twitter. So the club released the match day ticket prices, and keen to know what everyone's opinions are of them. I think the frustrating thing for me is that it's just too complicated, the match day structure. I mean, sorry, this isn't a Widnes criticism. I think rugby league clubs in general are guilty of this, where it's just very difficult for a casual fan to look at something as a glance and figure out how much they've got. So like I've printed it off. So that's a list there of all the prices. There's 27 different price points for Widnes games. Now I'm sure it's more. I'm sure there'll be other clubs where it's more. So you've got standard pricing for adult concession junior. You've got silver pricing for adult concession junior. You've got gold pricing for adult concession junior. You've got members advanced and match day pricing for each one. And it's just like, how on earth do you sell that? It's just like, to me, I'd just be like, right, it's 20 quid, whether you pay in advance or whether you pay on the day. If you're a member, you get 10% off. And if you want gold or silver, it costs X amount to upgrade. I mean, how much easier is it that to explain? Whereas if someone says, how much is a ticket? Oh, well, if you buy it in advance, it's 20. On a match day, it's 22. If you know a member, it's 18. If you want to sit in out, silver, it's 24. But that's 28. And it's just like, oh. I mean, it's hard enough for rugby league to sell itself as it is without making it complicated like that. So, again, not a criticism specifically of Widnes, but of rugby league in general. Price-wise, I know a few people have commented. £20, well, £22 on the day is certainly eye-watering, I suppose, for Championship Rugby. Junior, £10 on the day, £8 advance. I think, you know, would there be any harm in having juniors as a fiver? I'm not too sure. I think £20 fairly reasonable. I think if you went £20 and £5, I'd have no complaints with that. I know a lot of people are saying, well, the Stronghold's great value, and I don't doubt that the Stronghold's great value, but I think when you look at where Widnes are at, you've got a lot of people who've lapsed, a lot of members who've lapsed, you've got a lot of people who've walked away for whatever reason over the past few years, and you've got to try and convince them to come back. And are you going to be able to convince them to come back by paying 22 quid on the day? You know, it's a tricky one, that one. You know, yeah, don't doubt that the Stronghold's good value, but at the same time, people may not want to commit the £200 for the whole season. They might just want to pick and choose the games until they catch the bug again. And the same with casual fans in many ways. Ultimately, there's different types of supporters. You've got your diehards who'll be there no matter what. Rain, wind or shine, you know, however much money it is, you know, the sorts of people who are always there. And you know, you've got them kinds of fans. You've got fans who perhaps go around work, you know, they do their best to fit it around work. Of course the Sunday games are better, and you know, there's nothing that says that different types of fans are more worthy than others. You know, I don't really buy behind that. Everyone's got their own circumstance, everyone's got their own reason behind the game. You know, like there's a lot of people discuss about match day experience. To me, I'm not bothered about that. I just go to watch the rugby. I mean, they could be playing on a park and on the moon or something. I don't know, you'd still be there to watch the rugby. Whereas to some people, that match day experience stuff actually adds to the occasion. So, like, you know, you've got casual fans, you've got new fans, you've got maybe sort of fair weather or part-time type fans who maybe just come for the big games or come for the big cup games. And ultimately you want to turn as many of them into the diehard as possible. And diehard may not be the right word, because ultimately the diehard fans are the ones that put the more diehard fans the club has, it, you know, selling strongholds, buying shirts, whatever, the more money the club makes. So I think, and from my point of view, the reason why the ticket price and stuff in rugby league gets on my nerves a little bit is because that's an obstacle to getting someone on step one of this ladder up to being a diehard fan. If you imagine that being a diehard fan is being at the top of the ladder, rung number one is you're a brand new fan, it's your first game. Rung number two is you've been three or four games. Rung number three is you're a casual game, you pick and choose. Rung number four is like, well, you come most of the games, but you've not got a season ticket. It's like, I think it's almost like in rugby league, you've got someone stood on the ladder with like their hand out saying, you know, we're going to make it as hard as possible for you to get on step one of that ladder. But if you don't go on step one of that ladder, you're never going to reach the top of it. So I just think it'd be a lot easier from a marketing point of view. You just got to make it as easy as possible. You know, all these rugby league clubs are playing in front of half empty stadiums, and it's just like, just make it as easy as possible for fans to come in. I did say that I was going to offer some of my own thoughts, and I've sort of ended up going into that in this one. So I suppose I can carry on with that. I think the club are working on this, but you know, I don't understand why you can't buy a season ticket online. Especially in the North Stand, because it's unreserved. I understand that, you know, developing a system to be able to choose your seat in the South Stand is probably, you know, cost prohibitive. But, you know, realistically, you could whack a product up on the website for a 250 quid stronghold or whatever it is. They can buy it, you know, all the details go in, and, you know, voila, it's there. And I think I've said this a few times, if that facility had been available last season, I'd have probably bought my season ticket when I was in Catalan after the win over Catalan, and as it was, I just never got around to it. And I just think, you know, again, you just got to make it as easy as possible for people to get the tickets, to pay the money, and to get involved. The Dream Ticket, I think I've signed up for that twice, and I'm not in it anymore, and I don't really know it. And again, that's something you can't really do online. You've got to do the direct debit mandate and post it in, and you know. And I'm obviously different. I'm from a digital background, and of course, that sort of generation. But the reality is now that everyone under 30 basically is living on the phones and growing up with expecting everything at their fingertips. So to anyone under 30 to have to print something out and is just an obstacle to getting their money, which is ultimately what you're trying to do. I think the new shop with the kit and stuff's good. You know, the online shop, that's good for the club. I think the club really does need a new website. I'm hoping maybe to get someone on to talk about that in a few weeks. I mean, club websites are a very interesting thing, because depending on what club it is, it serves a different purpose. You know, for Man United, it's just a portal for them to sell tickets and merchandise. And of course, it is very much the same for Widnes. But for clubs like Widnes, there's also the content side of it. You know, ultimately, people know about Man United no matter what content goes on the Man United website. Whereas for Widnes, creating good content and putting it on the Widnes website is a good way of driving traffic, which then converts into ticket and merchandise sales. Now, I think Widnes are missing a trick, because they've got two great lads who know rugby league inside out and who are producing good content, but they've not got the platform to really, you know, maximise its potential. So, you know, Widnes' social media is a lot better than it was certainly 3 or 4 years ago. And I see this on the forum a lot, where people say, oh, I've not got Twitter, I've not got Facebook, so I've not seen it. And it's like, for me, the club could redevelop the website and, of course, integrate. I know there is a bit of integration of the social platforms on there already, but just make it better, make that the focal point. If you're going to do interviews on Facebook and Twitter, then find out, you know, make sure that they push through to the website, so the people we have without Twitter and whatever, I know anyone can go on it, but people aren't to know that. Just make it a little bit more accessible. You know, it just feels to me the same website's been there for years and years, and it's just a bit stale. You know, the fixtures isn't great. You know, there's no direct link to see the tickets. There's no, you know, even going through even the menus and stuff and trying to find stuff's hard. You know, you go on the Stronghold page and it still references Super League and August and stuff like that. And I just think, even like the URLs, it'd be great if you just had widnesvikings.co.uk/Stronghold, for instance. You know, then you could market that. You could put that on your advertising. You could put that, you know, on the billboards or whatever, whereas at the moment they've not really got that facility. I know a few people have asked me about Stronghold as well. I think the club have said that they're open to get them out this week. I can't that's second-hand information. No one's told me that directly, but someone's told me that who'd spoke at, who'd been to the shop. So I don't know what everyone's opinion on this is, but I've never been fussed by the Stronghold stuff. The freebies, I mean, like I say, I'm in that sort of category of fan where I'm not really bothered. I just want to go to the games. I go to all the games. Just want to watch my team. You know, I might buy a shirt, whatever. I'll buy stuff from the shop if they've got my size or if there's something I like. I'm not, you know, if I get a car sticker or a bag or whatever, you know, it's not particularly of interest to me. But then that's not to say that, you know, I wouldn't appreciate it. I think my issue with the Stronghold stuff is that everything's always Stronghold branded. But what's the Stronghold? I mean, I think I've only ever seen one or two people wearing the Stronghold beanie hat, and it's like, if that beanie hat had the Witness logo on, I'd wear mine, but I wouldn't wear it with the Stronghold thing on, because it's like, what's a Stronghold? I'm not a Stronghold, you know, I'm not proud to be a Stronghold member, I'm proud to be a Witness fan. And yeah, I do think that's missed a trick a little bit, you know. Even with the drawstring bags, it's like, could you imagine if every kid who got that drawstring bag was using that drawstring bag in school or whatever, and it had the Witness logo on, whereas it's got the Stronghold logo on, so it's like, well, what's that? And I just think, if you think about the money that it costs to produce all that stuff, they could have, over the last 3 or 4 years, every person who had a membership could now have a drawstring bag, a scarf, and a hoodie, a beanie with the logo on that they're wearing out and about, which then means that when you walk around Witness Town Centre, you see the logo all the time. And I think that's, I think that's an interesting something that I'd maybe change. I think the Stronghold was a great idea, but probably not for a club of Witness's size. So I think the problem is people have associated the Stronghold benefits as a cost instead of as a value. And that all stems from when it started. There was the season ticket, the Stronghold was separate. So people's perception was, because the price is 250 quid, well, 50 quid of that was the Stronghold, because previously they'd paid them separate, when the reality is that the Stronghold just adds value to your season ticket. I think, obviously, there's been a, you know, fans have obviously misinterpreted, or it's been badly communicated at some point, but, I think if you were a Liverpool football club and you had a membership scheme where you got discounts in places in Liverpool, you may pay that separately. Whereas I think the problem is being with Witness is that it's actually acted as a deterrent to stop people buying season tickets, which is obviously counterproductive. It'd be interesting to see how that develops. Obviously, you know, Brian, who's worked very hard on the Stronghold over the years, is leaving. So it'll be interesting to see whether that carries on and it's the way it is at the moment. I mean, like I say, I think the whole concept behind it was great. It's just whether it suited Witness or whether it suited the size of the fan base, if you like. So, feel free to comment about what benefits you use. I think I only ever used the Nando's one. Was it 20% off of Nando's, and that changed? So I think it changed to the start. I've never used it since. So I think that's the only real benefit that I ever used. It's a good way to get in with partners and stuff. But then, having said that, is getting discounts for Witness fans, is it really benefiting anyone? Because, okay, yeah, the fans are thinking, oh, well, that's it, I can get 10% off here. But what are the club getting? You know, obviously we're not privy to what the deals are, but are the club getting a kickback? You know, we don't know, and it's a bit like, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I think for me, the Stronghold stuff, I'd just have the Witness logo on it all, and you know, I couldn't even tell you where any of the stuff that I've got over the years is. The other thing is it comes out of date in 12 months because it's got the year on. I remember. I think I've got a Witness Viking Super League 7 wallet from years ago, which is like, well, you never use it because Super League 7 so there's a few little things like that that could maybe change. I know, just a shout out as well to Sonny off the forum, who said about supporters clubs, maybe the club should look at integrating supporters clubs again and maybe getting them to fundraise. We had the Lady Vikings and, you know, the Independent Supporters Club and people like that. Of course, I think there's been a little bit, and rugby league is paranoid, I think, in general. and this isn't necessarily a criticism of Widnes, because the RFL are exactly like this, where I think there's a little paranoia that they don't want fans or people outside of the club to organise things or do stuff without their almost their say or print on it. I might have interpreted that wrong, I don't know. And it's like, if you've got people who want to arrange, I don't know what the ladies' nights were like, obviously, but, you know, if you've got people who want to organise a ladies' night, just let them. Obviously, there's a little bit of blurred lines when people start asking for something back. If there's people willing to do stuff for Widnes, no strings attached, we'll raise money, you know, we'll run the Christmas do, we'll run the end of season dinner, all the money goes to the club, and there's no one taking money out, and there's no one wanting a, you know, wanting to sit on the board for doing it, then I think it's a no-brainer to just mobilise it. You know, there's clearly fans who are passionate about Widnes, there's clearly fans who want to raise money, there's loads of fans who are very defensive and very protective of the club as well, they should be. And these are the people, surely as a club you can trust these people to be able to organise. I know there was a bit of fuss over, was it the end of season dinner was just open for sponsors, and it's like, well, it's a bit of a shame that there's no, you know, fans thing for that. And it's not been ideal the past couple of years, but these are some of the reasons why the situation has got to where it is. So yeah, certainly an interesting one. I think, you know, if there's a way that fans can raise money for the club and put it in the club coffers without, you know, without prejudice almost, and without demanding something back, then that's surely good for anyone. It'd be interesting to see what happens next season with the pitch and whether there's any additional plans for that. I think there's also the cash turnstile issue. I know people mention this to me all the time, and that's probably more a council-related issue. But yeah, it is. Certainly last season was the first time in 20 years that I was having to buy tickets for each individual match because I didn't have a season ticket. And I must admit, it was a bit of a pain in the backside walking around the ground to the south stand and then walking all the way back around. And that makes me sound lazy, but that's just the way of the world, I suppose. It'd be a lot easier if you could just rock up and give you 20 quid, especially because it costs £2 more on the day. So, you know, not only have you got to get around to the ticket office window, it's also costing you more than if you'd have managed to go to the shop in the week. So yeah, they're my thoughts. A little bit of a personal opinion type show this week. I probably won't be here next week. It's Boxing Day, of course. But I'll try and fix something up for the following week. You know, like I say, if you've got any suggestions or any feedback, or you want to see anyone, please let me know. Please do subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please do subscribe to the podcast, which is available on iTunes, Spotify, and on Audio Boom. Please tweet me at JDG Sport. Have a good Christmas. Enjoy whatever you're up to. And I will see you in the new year.